Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
With that in mind, I want to ask you a question. What is one of your greatest temptations? For you, what are you most tempted by? What's that area that you're most likely to give into? What's that thing that, you know, feels good, looks good, feels right, it promises you a whole bunch of satisfaction, but it ends up leaving you with a wave of regret? What is that for you? Now, if I were to say, hey, turn to your neighbor right now and tell them, you're like, okay, first of all, I'm not doing it, but if you had to, most of you start with something really simple, right? Everybody go, well, you know, I'm tempted to eat chocolate, or, you know, what's that? Oh, that's what it was. Okay, you already had that one. That's the easy stuff. I mean, we all have that, the chocolate, the cookies, all that, right? That's what we would say in maybe mixed company or something simple like this. Or maybe if you're in a smaller group of people, you might get a little more real and say, you know what, my temptation is this particular substance. Or maybe you'd say, you know, my temptation, the reality is, man, I judge people and I'm bad about it. Maybe you're tempted to lash out in anger. Maybe for you, you're like, man, I'm always tempted to compare to other people. Maybe for you, your temptation is that late night scroll that goes too far. Maybe for you, your temptation is like, man, I just let it out. I vomit words out and they're hurtful words and they hurt people. And I do it when I'm tired and I'm doing it, or I do it when I'm frustrated. What is that moment for you? What is that moment when you feel the tension between what you know is right, but what you want to do in the moment? What's that temptation where you actually feel like a battle inside? You know there's this part of you like, man, I want to please God, but there's this other side of you in that moment, you're just like, no, I want to please self right now. And all the logic in the world in that moment doesn't really help. You start praying and it doesn't seem like anything's happening there. Guilt, that doesn't really stop the pull. What is that magnetic draw for you towards that temptation that you promised maybe you'd never do again? The reality is, every single one of us here, we're tempted, right? We're all tempted. In fact, even Jesus faced temptation. But here's the thing. Temptation may be inevitable, but sin is not. You don't have to give in. You don't have to fall. You don't have to fail. You don't have to fall into the same trap again and again and again. Because the reality is, God has already given you and I the power. He's given us the power to stand strong, because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives inside of you and I. You're not powerless. You're not stuck. So the question is, how do you actually resist temptation when it feels so natural? How do you resist that temptation when it feels so strong and such a pull, or where you even feel like it's justified? How do you stand firm when every part of you wants to give in? In Genesis chapter 39, that's where we'll be today, Joseph's story gives us a picture of what it looks like to resist and to overcome temptation. Here's a guy who really had every reason to compromise. Here's a guy who had every excuse under the sun by which he could say, hey, I'm going to give in. And yet he stood firm. He resisted temptation when that temptation came knocking at his door. Now, Joseph's story has been pretty wild. If you've been with us in this series, you know how he's gone from favored son to this forgotten slave. Remember the story, if you're with us, his father loved him more than all his other brothers, and his brothers hated him for that. And then Joseph shared his dreams with his brothers, in which the dream said that one day the brothers would bow down to him. And that was like the final straw, and they snapped. And so they decided to sell him to a caravan that was headed to Egypt. And then they just walked away like he had never existed, like he was never their brother. So if you think your family's dysfunctional, just remember Joseph. You got nothing on him. Now, at this point, Joseph's life has completely fallen apart. But then something incredible happens. I want to pick up the story. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1, it says this. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was from one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Doesn't sound so great, but now notice. The Lord was with Joseph so that he what? So that he prospered. But I don't want you to miss that first part. We talked about it in a previous message. The Lord was with Joseph, even in his slavery, even when life didn't make sense, even when everything that he, you know, his life that he had hoped for, even though all that's gone, God was still with Joseph. And as Joseph starts working in Potiphar's house, it seems like, hey, everything that Joseph touches, that turns to gold. And Potiphar notices this and sees that he's blessed. And so he starts to promote him. Before long, Joseph's running the entire estate. Genesis chapter 39, verse 6 says that Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. So Joseph has authority now. He's trusted. And he has the status. Things are finally looking up for him. They're going right for him. And that's when the temptation finally shows up. You see, when life's going well for us and we're successful, if you will, in life, and life's just cruising along, what do we start to do? We stop looking for the enemy or paying attention to the enemy. When things are going smoothly for us, what do? We tend to drop our guard. We find ourselves maybe not praying as much. We find ourselves not depending on God like we used to. Maybe we even start believing our own press about ourselves. And right when you think you're standing firm and standing tall, that's when the temptation slips in and it starts to whisper to you, hey, nobody will know. Hey, you deserve this. Hey, it's no big deal. Hey, listen, you can handle this. It's okay. Temptation, it doesn't just hit you when you're down and you're desperate or you're weak. It's going to hit you when you're comfortable and when you're strong, when life is going smoothly. Because the reality is, in our comfort, in our success, that's when we become a target. And so now we're in this story and the camera kind of zooms in. The stage is set. The stakes are high. And now here comes the test. Verse 6. Joseph was well-built and handsome. In other words, Joseph was a stud, all right? This guy looked good, abs of steel, man. I mean, he could bench press like there's no tomorrow, leg squats. He could do it all. This dude's a stud. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Now, I read that and think, that's just like, that doesn't happen. Right? Like you just read that and go, oh, okay, it's a story. Whoa. Wait, there's no subtlety here? There's no flirtation? There's just like straight up, hey, come to bed with me. Really? Well, Joseph looks good. He's confident. He has this growing success. And she wants him. And you might be thinking, well, you know, that would never happen to me. Great. But what do we know? We know that temptation will always speak to your desires. And it may not look like Potiphar's wife, but I'll tell you this, temptation, when it comes to you, it'll sound just as convincing. In fact, temptation will always come to you in a package that is specifically attractive to you. Now, it may not show up as an attractive red dress, but it might show up in a text message or a website or a conversation or a shortcut or an opportunity to bend the rules just this once. You see, temptation's always going to whisper to you, hey, you deserve this. You've earned it. Nobody's going to know. It's not a big deal. Temptation is shouting out to you, in fact, hey, this will make you happy. This will make you feel good. Let me tell you what temptation will never tell you. You do this and it'll wreck your soul. Temptation will never tell you that part of the equation. See, that's how temptation works. It's quiet, it's logical, and it makes sense until it doesn't. Proverbs chapter 14 says it this way, that there is a way that seems, everybody say seems. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It makes sense. It seems right. That's what makes temptation in our life so dangerous. It seems right. It seems right to us that, yeah, in this situation, I need to talk about that person. Yeah, it seems right based on what's happened here that, yes, I need to hold on to that grudge. It seems right that, you know, in this specific situation, I really kind of need to inflate the story so that I'm going to look a little bit better. It seems right that I need to spend that money that I don't have because of this circumstance or situation. It seems right to indulge in this private sin that I've been rationalizing. Temptation. It seems right. It's promising pleasure, but it never mentions the price. So, when things are going well, like they were for Joseph, what do? You need to stay alert. You need to stay alert. You need to pay attention. Why? Because you're a target. And what does Joseph, what does he do with this tempting offer? Genesis 39, verse 8, but he refused. Some of the strongest words in all of Scripture. He didn't flirt with it. He didn't test out the waters. He didn't see how close he could get to the line with crossing over it. He simply said no. He refused. And if you're kind of thinking, hey, he's a spiritual giant, of course he said this, get that out of your mind. You're thinking there's like this spiritual cloud over him protecting him. Get that out of your mind. That's not what happened. He's simply doing what any of us would do, and even taking you back to a message I did earlier in the series, doing what anybody would do who's absolutely confident God is with him. He simply refused. No debate, no hesitation, no maybe just this once. He refused. You see, Joseph knew something. He knew who he was, and he knew whose he was. In fact, listen to his reasoning as he explains to her, Genesis 39, verse 9. He says, hey, with me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one's greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you because you're his wife. So you see, Joseph, he knows who he is and whose he is. First of all, he's loyal to his boss. And he's actually here in this situation, this temptation that is coming his way. He's thinking about his testimony. He's thinking about his witness to his master. And he didn't want to discredit his witness, his testimony to this non-believing man. What do you need to know? You need to know that your actions, your behaviors, how you act, how you react in life, how you speak, how you communicate, it's all on display. It's on display to those that don't know the Lord. It's on display to your SOI, to your sphere of influence, and they're paying attention. And Joseph thought about that. Joseph was loyal to his boss. He didn't want to jeopardize that. He didn't want to jeopardize his testimony. But notice the other part, verse 9, he says, also, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph was loyal to his boss, but he was also loyal to the Lord. He didn't just say, hey, you know, I can't do this. He's my boss. He didn't just say, well, you know what? This is going to ruin my reputation. No, no, no. He told her point blank, how could I do this and sin against Almighty God? In other words, Joseph's resistance to this temptation was about his relationship with his Creator. He didn't resist just because he was afraid of getting caught. He resisted because he knew it would break God's heart. And he didn't want to break relationship with God. Listen, that's huge for you and I. The fear of getting caught might stop us once or twice, like, hey, I don't want to get caught. But love for God's what's going to keep us standing firm in the long run. In fact, let me say it again. The fear of getting caught might keep us from sinning occasionally, but love for the Lord, that's what's going to keep us from sinning consistently. Think about it this way. Think about somebody you love. Do you want to hurt somebody you love? No, of course not. You don't want to hurt somebody you love. And when you sin, you are hurting your relationship with God, the one you love. It's breaking God's heart. You don't want to hurt the God you love. So if you want to resist temptation, stay aware of God's presence in your life. Awareness of God's presence. God is with me. The Lord was with Joseph. God is with me. God is with me. It's your first line of defense against temptation. That's what gave Joseph his strength. He just lived with this awareness. God was present right now in his circumstance, in his situation, in his temptation. Don't forget, God is with you. Now, we'd like to think, hey, once I resist temptation, then, you know, it'll leave me alone. Is that how it works? No, temptation rarely gives up. Verse 10, she spoke to him day after day. She kept coming at him, and he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Temptation just keeps knocking on the door of your life. It keeps showing up. Have you noticed that? It's persistent. It's kind of like that mosquito that keeps buzzing around your head at 2 a.m. Now, I don't know if this has ever been true for you, but this has happened to me. I'll be laying in bed, and all of a sudden, I feel something. I hit my face, whatever, and I hear something, and I start to come out of sleep a little bit, and I realize, man, there's this thing buzzing around, and I try to swat it away, right? But I keep hearing it. And it's like, why is it like trying to go into my ear? Why am I hearing this? And like, I don't know about you, but at night I have like bionic hearing. I don't have it during the day, but for some reason it's like, that's why I got earplugs in and everything. So I'm hearing this and I'm swatting it away. And then it just keeps being there and it doesn't go away. And I find myself in that moment like, oh, this is terrible. And what's happening? I'm waking up more and more and more. And then I'm almost awake. And then I pull the sheets over my head. I'm like, okay, I got to go back to bed and sleep. And then I'm laying there and I'm like, okay, this is awkward and uncomfortable. And the sheets are over your head. So then you pull them back down and you're laying there and now you're almost fully awake. And then you hear it again. You're like, this is terrible. This happens to me. Now, maybe I'm the only one who has mosquitoes in your house. So I'm curious, am I the only one? Has this ever happened? Is there a couple of you? Okay, gosh, well, praise God, all right? I mean, praise God, I'm not the only one. Sorry for you. Okay, so you know that feeling. It's so annoying. That's temptation. It's annoyingly persistent. And you could try to swat it away, beat it back one day, but it's going to come back the next. You can scroll past it one time, but it's going to find its way back. You think you have moved past that weakness and it reappears, maybe in a different form or when you least expect it. And it might be days or weeks or months. And it'll come back at a different angle with a different perspective, present itself as a new opportunity, but it always circles back, buzzing around, being consistently annoying, trying to pull you down. That's why Joseph doesn't just resist her advances. He starts avoiding her presence. I got to stay away from her. She's trouble. Verse 10. So he refused to be with her. Another translation says he kept out of her way as much as possible. See, Joseph recognized something we often ignore. You won't be able to resist temptation if you just keep hanging out where temptation lives in your life. It will catch up to you. So what do? You do what Joseph did here. You set boundaries. You draw boundaries. You don't hang around the danger zone. See, that's actually called wisdom. People, I find myself guilty at times saying, oh, I'm good, I can handle this. Really? The reality is that's foolish. Because you stand in the wrong place long enough, it will eventually catch up to you and you will eventually do the wrong thing. You can't avoid every temptation. That's not possible. But listen, you can avoid a lot of temptation just by changing your proximity. Don't keep staying in that place that leads to the problem for you. Don't keep following that account or that channel or that influencer that is stirring up your desires. Don't keep staying in that type of conversation or in that conversation that is pulling you down. Don't keep seeing how close to the line you can get without crossing the line. Joseph didn't do that. He set up boundaries. He decided, he pre-decided essentially where he would and he would not stand. So he stayed away from her as much as possible. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is so powerful. It says this: if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That's like staying alert, right? No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I love that. God is always providing you a way out. There's always an escape route for you with that temptation. Sometimes the way out, it's the door. Leaving the room, leaving the conversation, deleting the number, closing the laptop, turning off the phone, getting out of the situation. Joseph doesn't stay around and say, you know, let me pray about it. No. He refused to be around her. But notice verse 11. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties. He still had to do his job. And none of the household servants was inside. You think that's an accident? I mean, this guy, Joseph's like, uh-oh, what's going on here? Well, she's there. She catches him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. That's so good. That's so good. He didn't negotiate. He didn't stick around. He didn't argue. He didn't try to explain himself. No. He just ran. You need to know, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do to resist temptation is to turn and run and flee and get out of there. You don't have to prove how spiritual you are by, hey, I'm just going to stand here. No. Be wise enough to walk away. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, flee the evil desires of youth, run from sin, and what do you run to? Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Run from sin, run to godliness or to godly attributes. Run to Christ-like behaviors. Is that you? Fleeing sin, fleeing from temptation, and running to godly attributes. Now you might say, okay, that's great, Pastor. So what does it mean? If I do everything right, I resist temptation, I don't give in, I run, does that mean I'm all good? That everything will finally smooth out and I'll be good moving forward? Well, unfortunately, no. Joseph did the right thing. He ran. But it cost him. In fact, it went very wrong for him. Potiphar's wife lies. She takes that coat that's in her hand and she accuses Joseph of assault. The husband believes her. And so Joseph loses his job, his career, his reputation, his freedom. Genesis 39 verse 20 says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. Put him in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Sometimes doing the right thing will cost you. But it was there when Joseph was in prison that verse 21 says, the Lord was with him. Again, we see that throughout Joseph's crazy story. And what does God do? He shows him kindness and grants him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Once again, we're reminding God doesn't bail out. God doesn't abandon Joseph. He was with him every step of the way, even showing him kindness, favor, success. But here's the reality for you and I. One of the most difficult, hardest lessons about resisting temptation for you and I, it's not going to always lead to an immediate reward. Hey, I did the right thing, so I should be rewarded for my faithfulness to God, right? It doesn't always work that way. In fact, sometimes doing the right thing will get you punished. Joseph got punished. Sometimes doing the right thing will cost you. It means you might lose something. You might end up losing out on a relationship. You might even lose your reputation. You might lose that promotion or an opportunity. You tell the truth, and you might lose that deal. You walk away, and people are going to call you weak. You stand for purity, and people will mock you. Joseph lost his cloak, but he didn't lose his integrity. And that integrity would end up being the foundation on which God used to promote Joseph later. Joseph's prison ended up being the pathway to Pharaoh's palace. We're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. Joseph, He was incredibly courageous and strong, but his strength, it wasn't coming from his own willpower. Where did that come from? It came from the awareness that God was with him. The Lord was with him. But it also came from this conviction, I know God's with me, and it comes from the conviction that I don't want to sacrifice that connection that I have with God and that relationship with God. What about you? Do you realize God is with you? Do you have that strong desire to be close, to connect, be connected with him? Joseph's story is this powerful roadmap of how to resist temptation in a world that just is constantly coming at you, constantly feeding you temptations, telling you it's okay, go for it, it's no big deal. Satisfy that desire. So let's remember, when life is going well, man, stay alert. Pay attention, 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you're standing firm, be careful so that you don't fall. And when that temptation comes knocking, what do you want to do? You want to resist it early, right away. It's going to come back. It's going to circle back. And when it does, don't stick around. Don't flirt with it. You want to run. You want to flee from it. In fact, if you ever feel trapped and you need to run, you run from that, and what do? You run to God. That's the pattern. That's your posture. That's your path to freedom. You stay alert. You resist it early. You flee. You run from the sin, the temptation, and you run to God. So here's the question. What's your Potiphar's wife? What is it for you? What's the temptation that's calling your name? The Holy Spirit probably been speaking to you all morning. Maybe for you, it's sexual in nature. Maybe it's emotional in nature. Maybe it's that person who's giving you attention that your spouse isn't giving you, and it feels harmless till it's not. Maybe it's digital. Man, you scroll when you're bored or lonely or stressed out, and before you know it, you're in a place you thought you'd never be in again. Maybe it's financial, and it's just a small exaggeration. It's a hidden expense. It's a creative number. After all, everybody does it. Maybe it's your words. Well, I have to talk like this in order to communicate in my industry. Yeah, I know God's word says that I shouldn't have any unwholesome talk coming out of my mouth or obscenities or filthy language. But man, I can't be effective in my industry without that. And so I'm tempted to use that type of words. Maybe it's pride or jealousy. Comparison, control, bitterness, envy, gossip. What is it for you? The enemy doesn't care how he gets you. He just wants to get you. So what's your plan? What's your temptation and what's your plan? What's your plan? Because here's what I know. If you don't have a plan to resist, then you actually have a plan, and it's a plan to fail. So that's why you have to pre-decide. You pre-decide what your boundaries are. You pre-decide in advance your no. You pre-decide that you will run and you will run to the Lord. And when you do, 1 Corinthians 13, when you're tempted, he'll provide you a way out. Listen, there's always a way out. Always, always, always. There's always a way out. It might not be easy. It might not be pretty. But the way out is there. The way out is there. Is your way out finally just walking out of the room? Is your way out ending that text thread, deleting that, getting it out of your life? Is your way out closing the laptop? Is your way out calling a friend for help and support and encouragement and accountability? Is your way out setting a boundary? You don't have to overcome the temptation by your own willpower. Don't try that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his spirit fills us with his power, love, and self-control. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gives you strength to resist. But pastor, I just feel like I'm such a weak believer and I'm always giving in to temptation and I keep messing up. I understand that, I do. I'm the same. And that's why, in a weird sort of way, Paul's words give me comfort. Romans chapter 7, verse 19, this great, amazing apostle said, I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, I keep doing. So even Paul struggled. Even a spiritual giant struggled. But grace can still win. When you fall, and you will, the question is, what are you going to do? Here's what I encourage you to do. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from your unrighteousness. That's what you do. When you mess up, confess it quickly, repent honestly, and get back up and keep walking with God. God's mercy isn't just for those who actually resist, but it's also for those who return to him. Say, I'm coming back, God. I messed up, and by your grace, I'm not going to mess up again. And if I do, I'm going to keep coming back to you. So this week, when temptation comes knocking, stay alert. Resist it. Resist it early. Flee. Run from that sin and run to God. And if you find that you mess up, confess it. Turn to God. He's faithful. He's just. He'll forgive you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we come before you recognizing this condition of human nature where we sin. Started all the way back in the garden, and it's still present. And until, God, you set everything right in the end, God, we're going to struggle with this. But we are so grateful that we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit inside of us, who fills us with power and love and self-control. So we know where to turn, and so we turn to you. So God, hear our prayers right now. What I want to do right now is I want to invite you to pray with me. And I'm actually going to invite you to pray a prayer with me. I'm going to guide you through a prayer right now, asking God to help us. So I'm going to encourage you to repeat this prayer after me. I'll guide you in it. You don't have to do it out loud. You can do it in your heart, in your soul. So if you're willing to seek God's help in this, just say this with me. Say, God, help me recognize temptation sooner. God, help me resist it right away. Help me to run and run towards you. God, when temptation comes, I will not trade my integrity for convenience. God, I will not trade purity for pleasure. I will not trade obedience for comfort. My heart belongs to you, God, and to you alone. And to you alone I turn. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. God, you've heard our prayers as we turn to trust in you and trust in you alone to be our strength, our shield, our portion forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.